And as they, Peter and John, were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were part of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Referring to the healing of the crippled man. "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them not to speak any more in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all of them were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom the sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. So far this evening. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we again just want to thank you that we can come and sit at your feet this evening and hear what you have on your heart for us tonight. We pray that you would just give us ears to hear, and eyes to see what you would want of us tonight. Lord, we do this because we want to live in step with you. We want to live pleasing you. For we know that when we please you, Father, that then we find ourselves living the life that you created us to live. And so we commit ourselves to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Why is it that a parent, or when a parent tells a child to tidy their room or to go and do their homework, there is never enthusiasm or excitement for the child to do that? Why is it generally when we are told to go on a strict diet or do some exercise for health reasons, we generally start out well, but soon we fade away and a week or two we back to our normal habits? Why is it when we are told to follow a set of rules or regulations or some kind of instructions, we immediately look for loopholes, or we try and manipulate what we've been told to do to suit ourselves? Why is it that we genuinely don't respond well to instruction? I think the answer generally is that we don't like being told what to do, isn't it? We don't like being told when to do things, how to do things, why we ought to do things. We just don't like that. And I think we would rather do things because we would want to do them than because we are told to do them. I think this might be the reason why the church today struggles with their witness to Jesus Christ. Telling people the truth about what Jesus has done in their lives. Firstly, I think it's often perceived that the call to witness or the call to testify about Jesus comes from the pastor, because we're normally the ones encouraging and urging people to witness. We're urging the church to go out into their community, to go out into their business places, and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. And it's often perceived that this instruction comes from the pastor or comes from the church in which they fellowship in, which kind of diminishes the value of witnessing and doesn't address the ability that we actually have to witness. I think when we are told to do something, if it carries value for us and we know that we are able to do it, then we want to do those things. Then we feel like a desire within us to go and do those things that we are told. The witness instruction doesn't come from the pastor. It doesn't come from a man. It doesn't come from God's church. It comes from God Himself, who knows our hearts. He formed us. He created us. He knows how we work and how we function in the world today. God knows that we need, when it comes to instruction, some value in what we're about to do. He knows that we need the ability and the power to be able to do that before we want to, before we desire to go out and to do things that we are told. And so God does that for us in this command to witness, to testify to the truth about Jesus. He gives us the value of witnessing, the great value, and He equips us and empowers us to witness, which, if we think about it, should make us want to witness. It should make us want to and desire to go out and tell people about the salvation that we have found in Jesus Christ. It should make us not want to keep quiet about the things of the Lord, especially what Jesus can do and is doing for us. It makes us want to live in such a way that will point others to Jesus. And I believe this is what we see in our passage this evening in Acts chapter 4. Peter and John, who along with the other followers of Christ, who in Acts 1 were instructed by Jesus to be His witnesses in Jerusalem, in their town, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And Peter and John show us that they just simply could not be kept quiet. They simply had this insatiable desire within them to tell people about Jesus and what He had done for them, because they knew the value in the message that they were sharing, and they knew that they had been empowered to do it. Peter and John had just healed a man who was crippled from birth. The people were amazed and full of wonder as they saw this crippled man, whom they recognized to be the one that sat at the gate beautiful day in and day out, begging from those who were entering into the temple, suddenly dancing and praising God and walking and running at the temple. And they were amazed and were wondering, how could this be so? And so Peter and John began to explain to them the name in which they were able to do such a miracle. They taught the people about the power in Jesus' name, not only to heal a crippled man from birth, but that same power that has the power to heal our crippled hearts because of our rebellion against God, and to restore us once again in a right relationship with God. And chapter 4 begins by telling us that as Peter and John were speaking about this, they were suddenly interrupted by the Jewish priests. They were interrupted by the captain of the temple guard, And he was a person who was almost like the police chief of the temple, who made sure law and order was followed during the worship services in the temple and in any other place where worship was being conducted. There was also interruption by the Sadducees, those who were in cahoots with the Roman governors of the day, those who also had a theological point of view that did not believe in the bodily resurrection of the dead. This group was annoyed at the witness of the truth of Jesus Christ, and they tried to stop it. And so they had Peter and John arrested, and they threw them into jail overnight. The next day, they were hauled before the rulers, the Sanhedrin, the elders, the Pharisees, and the scribes of the law, the very people that opposed Jesus' ministry here on this earth. And Luke tells us that Annas was there, the high priest, and Caiaphas, his son-in-law, who we know both featured prominently in the trial of Jesus and his condemnation to death. Luke also says John and Alexander were there, but we don't know much about these other two people, other than they must have been part of the high priestly family that also gathered to interrogate Peter and John on this occasion. And as they sat in their customary semicircle, they had Peter and John brought before them to basically put them on trial for witnessing to the truth about Jesus. I can just imagine how Peter and John felt with memories of Jesus' trial suddenly flooding their minds. Were they going to suffer the same fate as Jesus? Would they be handed over to the Romans to be crucified? All because they were telling people the truth about the power in the name of Jesus. As I said earlier, if there was no value in their witnessing, they simply would take the first opportunity that presented them to jump out or to escape from the instruction that God placed over their lives. And this was the opportunity. The reality of possible death faced them because of what they were doing. But we read that when Peter was asked to give an account by these rulers of what power or by what name he did this miracle in, Peter begins to witness. Peter begins to tell them about the truth about Jesus Christ. He begins just to overflow with the power that came to him through the Holy Spirit about Jesus and what Jesus could do for them. He says to these men, if you want to know what power or by what name we do these things in today, if that's your reason for getting us together today, well, let me take the opportunity to tell you exactly by what power we do this miracle in, by what power is able to take these people and restore them into a right relationship with God. And well, boy, he did tell them on this occasion. He didn't leave anything to question. He says, it is in Jesus' name that we do these things. The same Jesus whom you crucified. This is the third time Peter points fingers to the rulers of the day, the Jewish people, the Jewish rulers, that they're the ones that crucified Jesus. He doesn't hold back. He says, the same Jesus whom you crucified. The same Jesus whom God raised from the dead to new life. The same Jesus who is the stone whom God has said in His Word in Psalm 118 that Jerry Lee read to us earlier on has become the cornerstone to build God's people up, God's kingdom. What boldness from Peter. Or we might say, what stupidity. I mean, was he trying to incite the anger of these rulers and these leaders? I don't think so. I really don't think so. I really believe that Peter genuinely knows the value in what he is saying and witnessing to these leaders. He knows the value in confronting those who reject God's salvation with the truth about Jesus. For this is God's way of working in people's hearts, to draw them out of darkness into His glorious light, to bring them back into relationship with Him. And we see Peter testify to the value of what he was witnessing to in verse 12. He says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No other name can save us other than the power that is found in the name of Jesus Christ." Friends, God has instructed us to be His witness because of the value of this message. Because that there is no other name by which we can be restored into a relationship with Himself. Because there is no other name given among men by which we can be rescued from the penalty of our rebellion against God. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only life. Jesus is the only one that has the truth that can restore us to a right relationship with God. There is not only good news for us in this, but there is good news of eternal value for those that face an eternal life separated from God. The value of this message, the value of witnessing to this message, is beyond any comparison in this world. And for Peter and John, it was beyond their own personal well-being. For in that moment when everything was saying to them, "Don't testify because you might end up like Jesus," Peter and John knew the value of this message. They knew it was a matter of life and death for those who were going to hear it. We have the message of life in Jesus. We have the way for people to change their eternal destiny and to become people who enjoy a relationship with God. Peter and John knew and understood the value of this message, which made them want to witness to the truth about the name of Jesus Christ and what it could do for them. I think there's so many things that make us want to fear witnessing today. So many things that prevent us from telling people about the truth of Jesus Christ. Fear is one of them. Embarrassment might be another. Busyness of life. Maybe our comfortable lives. Maybe our reputations, our friends, our families, our government prevent us or make us not want to share about Jesus. Yet when we consider the value of the message that we have to witness to, the value that it's a message of life and death for people, that it's a message beyond comparison to anything else of any value in this world, surely we would want to share this message. Peter and John, they show us this value in this message that they've been asked to witness to. And that made them want to share and share at every opportunity the good news about Jesus Christ. But maybe we're here tonight and we feel, well, Mark, that's maybe good for you or maybe good for those who've a bit of Bible study or Bible education behind their names. But what about us who don't feel qualified or equipped to witness for Jesus? Well, God has taken care of that too already by giving us His Holy Spirit to dwell within us. And His Holy Spirit empowers us to witness, equips us to witness. Which again should not make us fear witnessing, but again should make us want to witness, desire to witness for Him. Luke tells us in verse 8 that before Peter and John were able to witness before all these leaders around them, they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God gave them the boldness, gave them the courage and the words to say to those who were before them. When the rulers and elders and the scribes, along with the high priest, saw the conviction and the boldness of Peter and John's witness. Verse 13 says, they were astonished. They were amazed. These were common men, uneducated men. Men who were the least qualified to get into any conversation about theological matters. Yet they spoke with authority and conviction with regards to Jesus Christ. They also saw the healed man next to them. And they could find nothing to say in opposition to what Peter and John had done. There was a notable sign from God that these men were equipped with the power of God. The Holy Spirit had empowered these men to witness through the healing of that crippled man right to the very point where they were standing before the Sanhedrin, before the high priestly family, and giving an account to the power that is in the name of Jesus Christ. These were educated men who now were absolutely stumped. They didn't know what to say. They didn't know what direction to take with these men to try and make them to stop testifying in the name of Jesus. They were unable to shut up Peter and John because of their boldness and courage and what they had to say through the power of the Holy Spirit as they testify to the name of Jesus. Friends, God does not ask or expect us to do something that He does not empower us to do. I guess that's why He instructed His followers in Acts chapter 1 to remain in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes down upon you and empowers you and enables you to go out and be My witnesses. We have that same Holy Spirit dwelling within us who have faith in Jesus Christ. We have that same power within us that Peter and John had standing before those Jewish leaders on this occasion. And God has given us the power and ability to witness to this valuable message from God about life and death for eternity, which should make us also want to go out there and not keep quiet, but allow the Spirit's power to enable us to witness to the truth about Jesus. Peter and John show us that God has given us a message of great value, and He's equipped us, empowered us to be able to witness to that message. You see, after the rulers did not know how to respond to Peter and John, they decided to send them away while they decided what to do with these men. They decided that they could not keep them in prison any longer because of the people's amazement and astonishment at what they were doing. And so they decided that they would just urge them not to speak about Jesus anymore. They would urge them just to keep quiet and go about their daily business without speaking in the name of Jesus Christ. And so in verse 18, it says they called them back in front of them and they charged them. They urged them. They almost put a sentence on them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus Christ. Basically, they asked them to stop witnessing. To stop witnessing. Verse 19 tells us that Peter and John replied to them in that moment and almost kind of said, "Well, you are supposed to be the godly leaders. You judge whether it is right before God to listen to you or to listen to God. But as for us, we just cannot keep quiet. We just cannot keep quiet. We want to obey God. We feel that we just cannot do this. We just simply cannot. We have this desire within our hearts because of what God has instructed us to do, to tell people about the power that is in the name of Jesus Christ. We simply cannot keep quiet because of what God has instructed us to do." Cannot help but think the prophet Amos, an Old Testament prophet, felt like this as well. He says in Amos 3 verse 8, "When the lion roars, what happens? Well, everybody becomes afraid. When the Lord speaks, who can but prophesy?" In other words, who can but speak the message of the Lord? Jeremiah, also an Old Testament prophet, felt the same. In fact, when he was angry with God, he tried to suppress the message God had given him. And he says this, "If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I just cannot hold it in. The Apostle Paul wrote about his preaching in a similar way in 1 Corinthians 9. He said, "For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting. Why? Because necessity is laid on me to preach the gospel. For woe to me if I do not preach the good news of Jesus Christ." These men, including Peter and John, were given instruction by the Lord, as we all are, to witness to the truth. And they could not keep it inside them anymore, even if they tried to, because they wanted to, they desired to be obedient to God and testify to what they had heard and seen. And I believe it's all because they valued, or they understood the value of the message, and they knew that they had been empowered by God to speak that message. So friends, this evening, where does that leave us? Well, God has asked you to be His witness in the world in which we live in today. Not Mark, not John, not the elders of this church, not this church in itself, but God, who knows your heart, has asked you to be a witness for the truth about Jesus. And He's given you and told you and shown you the value in that message. And He's promised to equip you through the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. So that in those moments when you feel afraid, when you feel maybe like you don't want to, maybe you feel like you might be embarrassed, or you feel that life's too busy, He will equip you with the time, with the boldness, with the courage, even with the words to say, to speak, to live in a way that would speak about Jesus and the value He is to us. And so the challenge is for us tonight. Can you now, knowing this, keep quiet? Can you now keep quiet about Jesus after God has asked you to testify, to witness about Him? Let's pray together.